Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Coming up on today's wrestling news, a former WWE star teases an AEW return.
AEW Dynamite beats Monday Night Raw in the ratings.
Is AEW set to do its first ever hair versus a hair match?
Oh, and an AEW star is unhappy with the way he's being booked. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And remember when I retired from the content.
And this is the news. Wasn't ready for that.
You never are. What have we got first?
Let's talk about Leo Rush.
Oh yes, I'm going first. Okay, yes. Well, you've spoiled the reveal of
it's Leo Rush.
It's Leo Rush, everybody, not Lance Archer, as I googled in the taxi on the way this morning. Anyway, I digress. Leo Rush, he made his debut in AEW at Double or Nothing, I think I'm right in saying, in
yes.
The Battle Royal. Everyone was like, oh, what a great pickup that is. This is before, you know, they were signing every single major five-star wrestler leaving WWE. What a great pickup Leo Rush is. His time in NXT, I can tell you from when I covered that show, was critically lauded, if only by me. He's an incredibly talented worker, was incredibly talented on the microphone. It felt like it was a lot that AEW could have done with him, but he retired from in-ring competition pretty much straight away after. He'd had an injury that had been bothering him, thought he could deal with it, thought he could wrestle through it, but it started to affect his actual life, and he announced last year that he was retired, he was done, he was stepping away from pro wrestling. And I think the response at the time was, oh, that's a shame. Leo Rush is really good and he's really young, and it's not like he's had like any high profile major injuries. I know he was off WWE for a long time, but nothing that you thought was career threatening. So to get that out of nowhere, very, very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
However, Tony Khan, Big TK, our alleged paymaster.
Longbone Tone, as he's known in the office.
Longbone Tone has been on the old Twitter machine to say, I see a lot of tweets talking about Leo Rush today. Coincidentally, I've been talking to at the Lionel Green, that's Leo Rush,
okay.
Confused, a lot recently about returning to AEW, and it feels like something that could happen in the near future. So if everybody who's been wanting a Leo Rush return to pro wrestling in general, never mind AEW, looks like something interesting. I mean, he doesn't say, I would like to stress, he does not say he's going to come back and wrestle.
No.
If indeed he has had to retire, it's not like these injuries just go away. I would suspect this means working in some kind of broadcast capacity, possibly as a manager, which, as we all know, he excelled at in WWE before he was in NXT. You know, don't start doing the Bobby Lashley stuff.
No, what I was going to say was the original idea, possibly in the office, for pitching this story was former WWE star coming to AEW as a manager, but that's a ridiculous thing to potentially take a WWE star and suddenly make them a manager out of nowhere. But Leo Rush, it actually works for. Like you say, if he comes back in ring, great, he's phenomenally talented. We saw all of that in NXT. But when he managed Bobby Lashley, I thought he did a great job
I'm still reading. You were doing your I'm about to do an impression, and
no.
I don't know if I should do it first.
No.
Okay. No?
Lashley. I love him. I love the 26-year-old piece of gold. I want to be a cowboy, baby. I think he'd be a brilliant addition to AEW. Like you say, whether he's a manager, whether he's, even if he's a bloody interviewer, although they've got loads of them, so they probably don't need that. But if you brought him in a broadcast side of things, whatever, I need more Leo Rush in my life, basically.
I think whatever capacity they would use him in, the broadcast he is improved by having Leo Rush on.
Absolutely.
That's my major takeaway. And yeah, I completely forgot the whole Adam Cole thing was based on Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley. Oh, this guy's really talented in ring, but quite small, though. What can he do? Oh, he can talk, can he? He can talk. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't really... It's a bit of a no-brainer, that.
It's just so upsetting to know that if I had ever ended up in WWE, that's how I would have been used, rather than the heavyweight champion I should have been.
You could manage me and be my mouthpiece. Anyway, right, let's move on and talk ratings. Oh, it's been a while since we've talked ratings, but this one is actually justified because this week's Dynamite was the second most watched Dynamite in AEW's history. Number one was the first ever episode of Dynamite, but this week's...
Is that a fact?
Yeah, this week's did 1.3 million viewers on TNT, but the big story, I'm sort of burying the lead here, the big story is they actually beat Monday Night Raw in the key 18 to 49 demographic. They are up over 40% on last week's number. They scored a 0.52 rating that basically equates to about 681,000 in that important demo. WWE, Monday Night Raw, did 678,000 approximately. So Dynamite has beaten Monday Night Raw.
We should say, in the interest of fairness and balance here, two caveats for this you have to mention. One, that is AEW coming out of the biggest ever pay-per-view it's ever done, the most headline-grabbing show it's ever done, where they've had the in-ring return of the most talked about wrestler of the last 7 years and hired two of the most critically acclaimed wrestlers.
Yes.
So they're going to get a huge boost off that. That's not where the ratings are going to sit. And second caveat, Raw is dog shit.
Sorry, Phil.
So you got to take these things with the facts and the context here.
This week's Raw was covered by, and I enjoyed it.
Dog shit.
But it was covered by, as two edits for Phil, was covered by tag team turmoil for the majority of the 3 hours. Great wrestling, just not necessarily what you need to match Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, and CM Punk now being in AEW. Bonkers stuff. I don't know what to say about this. It's been coming a long time, and I know some people will be on Twitter saying, well, until they beat SmackDown, they're not a proper show. But this is a hell of a statement of intent from AEW.
Raw's got how many years head start on all of this? How many established fans? Like, AEW was always getting into this business to take on WWE's flagship shows. I kind of got lost with the fact they started the Wednesday Night War, which was a genuinely good PR move by WWE to put AEW up against its, you know, quote-unquote third show, its developmental show. Because even if it won, that was seen as like the level it was competing at. It was up against the, you know, the other show every other week. But AEW were always getting into this to go after the flagship broadcast. They want to be the most watched wrestling show in the world. So I think this was something that was always going to happen. Not necessarily consistently. We're not saying that like AEW was always going to be bigger than WWE, but there was always going to be a week where finally there was a bigger Dynamite than there was a Raw or a SmackDown. That was always going to happen eventually. Maybe not consistently, but it was certainly not supposed to happen in 2 years.
No, and I will say this as well, because a lot of times we report this and go, oh, Dynamite did a huge number if it's coming off the back of a pay-per-view or whatever. And often, I think even AEW fans, even Sid would admit this, often they do huge numbers, but it's a bit of a crap show. Not, you know, across the board, but it doesn't seize the opportunity.
It's not the one you'd show a new fan.
Exactly. This week's show, I think, ticked all the boxes for me. A really, really good Dynamite, especially for, like you say, lapsed fans. And I'm just going to put a theory out there. Ever since you stopped doing ups and downs for NXT, NXT has not beaten Dynamite in the ratings. Is that a coincidence?
No.
Okay. Let's talk hair.
Well, no, you see, you say that genuinely. A lot of people say they consume a lot of their WWE product through Miller. Like, a lot of people...
Yeah.
Like, I was getting my hair cut yesterday, listening to an entire barbershop going, oh, we don't bother with Raw or SmackDown. We just watch Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's fair enough.
Shout out to Aaron.
Yeah, shout out to Aaron. And how many people, you know, lost interest in NXT when... Because Gareth has different sex appeal.
Oh, yeah.
It is still sex appeal. Yeah. It's very different sex appeal. And if that's not your particular...
He's so bloody positive as well. I love it. He's like really enjoying... Oh, didn't give it any downs, any NXT downs this week.
I wasn't doing that.
Okay.
I was fair and balanced. And also, sleep deprived. Anyway, yes, we obviously were subbed me in for Andy Murray today because there's a hair versus hair story to do. And how are you going to take that seriously if it's hair versus no hair in the chair?
Mm.
Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy might be doing hair versus hair.
Oh, okay.
There's not really much more to the story than that. Andy Pollard's managed to get like a sensational 200 words out of it somehow. But all right, so obviously there was the stuff in the Battle Royal, they came face to face, the Hardy family office. Genuinely, I keep seeing it written down as HFO, and I genuinely get it in my head that it's Hardy front of office, which is like so slightly wrong,
yeah,
but also so close.
Yeah. I feel terrible about this. This is the least I've cared about hair versus hair match in quite some time. The Dad Leaves were talking about potentially there's the potential there for a hair versus mask stipulation with the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks for
That'd
the tag titles. This, it feels like they're just chucking stuff on it to make people interested in Matt Hardy versus every mid-card.
I think the main tell for this, and it shouldn't work like this because it's Orange Cassidy and that's normally the whole shtick.
Yeah.
Hardy challenges him to hair versus hair. Normally a shocking stipulation to have, And Orange Cassidy, who has, you know, short back and sides, puts his hands in his pockets and goes, whatever. Mm. And it's like, okay, Matt Hardy losing his hair. Yeah, shocking. The guy's had long hair forever and ever and ever. Orange Cassidy just getting it done like two numbers lower. Mm. I don't know if I'm interested in this.
I'm just not really that bothered. But let us know if you think it's spiced up this feud.
Surely that's the payoff, isn't it? Orange Cassidy loses and isn't bothered about getting his hair cut because that's just... But then it's a total waste of hair versus hair stipulation.
Yeah, I think I personally would prefer that hair versus mask stipulation, especially as Hamflirt suggested Ansage, to be fair.
I feel terrible, by the way. Paul's got so many more details.
He's written loads, yeah.
Just none of them are... It's just, that's it.
Yeah, it's hair versus hair.
That's
and
it.
And the potential
might
also
be a full gear. Yeah.
The potential was there also for in a hair versus mask stipulation. You don't even necessarily need to have to do the Young Bucks hair. You can just do their facial hair because they clearly care so much about that as well.
What would me and you, what would our, if we did pun, imagine we did pun versus pun, loser can't do puns. Impression versus impression.
I think I would retire.
Snark versus...
It's not impression versus impression, absolutely. I'm never putting that on the line. That's my bread and butter right there. You're taking this...
Take the bread out of your mouth if you can't do impression.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right, let's conclude by talking about Brian Cage, who seemingly is quite unhappy with the way he's being utilised in AEW, which is partially justified, I think it's fair to say. His other half, Melissa Santos, she was on social media posting a video about how she feels he's not being utilised correctly. She said, Brian Cage is a superstar. Those people who know him from the Indies, Impact, Lucha Underground, etc., where I met him, know that he is a superstar. All you have to do is Google him and watch his matches. He is a superstar and he's being misused right now. She later then shared a screenshot of an article that read, is AEW misusing Brian Cage? And Brian Cage quote tweeted that with the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, GIF, basically.
Once more?
That's me as the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Someone could GIF that for us and send it in, that'd be absolutely
I've always wanted to be a GIF. That's my life.
Have you never been
goal.
A GIF?
I've never been a GIF.
I've been not in a good way, but I've been a GIF.
But yeah, what do you reckon? Because I think, because it appears like they're seemingly transitioning away from Ricky Starks and Brian Cage because they could do Ricky Starks versus CM Punk, which, yeah. But it feels like the Brian Cage face turn. He dropped the FTW Championship because of shenanigans. Mm. And then I think they haven't really utilised him very well or much at all.
I know you hate it when I come on here and I do really concise, nuanced points, right? But they're both right. Brian Cage is not being used correctly in AEW at the minute. However, when your wife says, all you have to do is Google him and you will see he's a star. If you have to Google somebody, Adam Wilborn, he is not a star. That's not how that works. If you're a star, people know who you are. The problem with this is, he came in and he did, initially, he was presented as a star, he was received as a star, and he performed as a star.
Look at him.
Because the very particular role he had in the company with the FTW belt and the way they got Taz in made him look like a big star. That's run its course. It didn't have a lot of longevity. They got everything they could out of it. They did the face turn, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Sidgwick said on Twitter, It requires something in him that he doesn't have, which isn't a massive criticism. Wrestlers do not have every single string to their bow. They do not have every single weapon in their arsenal. You need to use them appropriately, which is why it isn't working, because they're not using them correctly. Now, we are conditioned as wrestling fans to see a performer not being used correctly and assume automatically that's the fault of the office.
Yeah.
Because we've watched WWE for so long with so many underutilized stars, so many people not being used correctly, that we're like, oh, they just don't know what to do with them. Sometimes it just doesn't work, and it's as much the fault of the promoter for not having the right thing as it is for the performer for not quite being able to do that thing. And the beat of AEW is you're not tied into a 5-year, multi-million dollar contract where you've just got to sit there doing house shows, collecting your paycheck and stagnating. He can go away. He can go away.
He can go to WWE.
He can go to Impact. He can go and do the indies. And maybe come back in a little while and be used correctly again. So, yes, I don't think AEW are using him correctly. I think they're doing the wrong thing with him at the minute. I think what is there now is not working. I don't think it's clicked. But I don't think it's the end of the world. And I think you should just go do something else for a bit.
Absolutely fair enough. I can't say anymore. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE.
Oh, these are always death.
Please do the to Mr. and Mrs. gimmick for this first person, because Jake has asked us a question.
I must apologise to Andy Murray, by the way, because obviously having not done a lot of content on the channel, when we did the stream, Andy was doing his best to keep up with all the chat donations and the questions we were getting asked. And I was just doing that. Doing the to Mr. and Mrs. gimmick, but the problem was, at the tighter I got, the more I was just muttering it under my breath. So he was just trying to read a question about to Mr. and Mrs. and I could just see that it was throwing him off, understandably, and it was 4 a.m. for him as well as for me. You know, we weren't on different time zones or anything, so I could just see this fuse getting shorter and shorter every time I did it. So sorry,
anyway,
Andy.
First question comes from Jake.
To Mr. and Mrs. Jake, a son. Jake.
Who asks, do you see Ric Flair getting involved with Andrade El Idolo in a managerial capacity? And if so, does that help or hinder Andrade moving forward?
I do not see Ric Flair getting involved with Andrade, because Andrade is not a 28-year-old naive woman at a convention.
I'm going to quickly move on to Was that him on the bus?
It was absolutely him on the train. It was absolutely him on the train. If it wasn't him, he wouldn't have engaged with it.
Second question today comes from Morbidly Sick, who says...
To Mr. and Mrs. Sick. To be fair, if your surname was Sick...
Yeah.
Come on, I've had 4 kids. We've got Tom, we've got Dave, we've got Paul. Let's have, like, Morbidly. Come on, for a laugh.
Like my friend Seb, who's a doctor. So they say, to come through here, and Dr. Heaven will see you now.
His name's Heaven. I've got a friend who's called Dr. Brain. You know what the funniest bit is? Do you know what kind of doctor he is?
What?
Bum doctor.
Right, okay, morbidly
there's
sick.
There's a word for it. I can't remember what it is, but he just does bums. He's called Dr. Brain.
So what we call this for an invasion angle?
What? What?
I don't know why bum doctors do so much to So are we building to an invasion angle with a Bullet Club coming for the elite?
You have to start again. I'm now tickled by you saying getting tickled by a bum doctor, because that's what they do, isn't it?
Are we building to an invasion angle with the Bullet Club coming for the elite?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Why not? No, you have to... the Bullet Club coming for the... There's too much overlap at the minute. There's far too much overlap, because I'm going to get my Venn diagrams mixed up. The elite... It's Kenny and the Bucks. Mm-hmm. It's not Cole.
Cole's the elite.
Cole is the elite. Right, okay, apparently. Cole is the elite. All right, well, there's not too much. Yeah, you could, but then who do you get in for that?
Well, I do like the fact that Gallows and Anderson were stood there, and Cole's like, we're here, look, we're the elite. You've got the best tag team in the world, the Young Bucks. You've got the best world champion, Kenny Omega. And he just didn't say anything, on Gallows and Anderson as well.
We think that is what you would call a planted seed. They haven't got to pay it off for years yet if they don't want to, but those two guys are always in the background, always getting left out, always...
And they did it before with Lee Johnson, where he was like, thanks to everyone at the Nightmare Factory.
Yeah.
They've helped me so much. Dustin, Cody, QT Marshall stood there like, you're going to say my name in a second. And he just went, yeah, thanks to everyone, really.
Let's say you got only the 4v4 thing. Bucks, Kenny, Cole, right? Versus Gallows, Anderson.
It's difficult years. Yeah, you can't have Finn, obviously.
Well, if you're paying it off in years to come.
Oh, if you're paying off in years to come, yeah, absolutely.
If you want
to
plant that seed now in the hope that you get a Balor or somebody in a couple of years.
Timmy Tango, get him over there.
Is he still going?
Hi, Tama. Love you,
Tama.
Final question today comes from Angela Dawn, who says, greetings from Murphy Jefferson Brown. First of all, good boy. Second part of this, Angela says, I just thought this would tickle us today, as if we needed it anymore. Yeah. Have you ever said or done something embarrassing while meeting a wrestler for the first time?
Well, which one do you want?
I mean, no, both of
which,
them.
Which one do you want? Which of those two stories that can haunt me tonight?
I think it's... I'll just say it's, and you know which one I mean.
Okay, right. So we had... Well, we're allowed to talk about it now. We used to have Paige backstage at a lot of our WCPW shows. She wasn't supposed to be there. She was very supposed to not be there.
Yes.
But she was with her boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And she was hanging out backstage, and I was backstage, being a bit of a Paige stan, a fan, not a stan, a Paige fan at the time, let's say. And I was stood watching a monitor, and I just sort of like clocked that literally there, also watching the same monitor, was Paige. And 28-year-old, like, old enough to know better, 28, 29-year-old me, was just like, oh, well, play it cool, Adam. Play it cool. This is your opening sentence. Bear in mind, who's, like, brick-hard boyfriend is in the ring and could rip me in tears. Like, this could be the moment that changes you. This could be it. Okay, play it cool, man. Oh! It's Paige, isn't it? Paige, isn't it?
I'll just do my one.
That's what she said.
What did she say?
Yes. It is, but this is the thing that always gets left off about this story. Three shows later, she paid off that guy by going, it's Adam, isn't it?
That's...
And everyone was like, oh my God, you paid for it. I was like, yeah, we're good, Paige.
I'll just tell the one where I interviewed Rey Mysterio, a hero of mine. He did a great interview, if I'm saying so myself.
Really good.
And I had a lovely time, and I thought, I'm wrapping up. I'm like, well, Ray, thank you so much for chatting to us today. And in my brain, as I say that, my brain goes, oh my God, Adam, you just interviewed Ray Mysterio. That's Ray Mysterio sat across from you. And the moment got the better of me, and I forgot what I was saying. So I went, so thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. And I just watched Pachiti behind the camera go. And I was like, we can't wrap it up. This is a one take video. Yeah. And I ruined it. And,
yeah, it was a good video still. Of course, my Rey Mysterio story is that when I was handing him his wristband for the lead show, because the venue were very strict on all the performers having a wristband, Rey Mysterio and what I assume to be his entourage of friends got out with the car, maskless.
Absolutely.
And as his... One of which tried to get past me without a wristband. I went, oh, and your little mate's going to need one as well, by the way. I was very short. I was like, make sure your little mate gets one as well. And they went in. And Jack was stood next to me and went, mate, that's Penta.
Right, let's move on to today's ad finally.
Your little mate.
And then later on, he packaged pile drivers.
Our driver, through a series of tables.
He's a wrestler, by the way. He was just waiting.
Who then had to drive us home with a concussion through the Pennines.
Right, final...
One in the morning.
And finally today, you may have seen the brilliant interaction between MJF, Brian Pillman Jr. and Brian Pillman Jr.'s sister on Dynamite this week. Brian Pillman Jr. revealing last night, he tweeted, in a bizarre turn of events, the encounter between my pregnant sister and MJF sent my sister into contractions late last night. She's expected to have her baby today or tomorrow. My nephew is about to have the same birthday as me. Surreal week. Obviously, congratulations to the Pillmans, to his sister, to fantastic news this. Except for Maxwell Jacob Freeman, who quote tweeted this saying, I destroyed this inbred family so bad, even the fetus wants to be as far away from it as possible. Never, ever, ever change, Maxwell.
Why aren't they doing the MJF's the father?
Oh, God, because it's not WWE, basically.
No, but how funny would that be? The one time you could do it.
No,
but I don't mean like where it's like a shock, cheesy reveal. I mean where it literally comes out with a Burberry scarf on.
Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, got the SmackDown preview, the Rampage preview and Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz coming later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Adam Cleary at
Adam Cleary, CLEY. You can follow Adam Wilborn at
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all, as I said, at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Adam Cleary. Thank you for joining us from Bum Doctor.
Bum Doctor.
And we...
Sorry, Seamus. Say Seamus as well, aren't we? It's even funny.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.